Ken Laban, well, firstly, let's start with the most recent of the sporting efforts, which was an overnight game between the Black Ferns and England. We'd have to think our young wahine were disadvantaged too, because our competitions have been so affected by the COVID situation. I know England have had their battles too, but no doubt they're back into some sort of sense of normality more than our wahine. Did you watch, and what did you learn?
Yes, I did watch the game this morning. Got up at 3:30. They were comprehensively beaten by a team with a superior scrum, superior line-out, far better at the breakdown. And the Black Ferns, by comparison, they looked out of sorts. They looked short of footy. And the English team, it was an awesome performance. Just under 10,000. That's a fantastic crowd for a standalone women's game. That's getting up to the kind of numbers they had when they hosted the Women's World Cup a few years ago, which the Black Ferns won. So in terms of an occasion, an atmosphere, a setting, and of course for the overall game, any time the world champions get beaten in any sport, it will attract worldwide attention. So disappointment for the Black Ferns, but I think a huge step forward for the women's game, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, where it's very strong anyway. For the Black Ferns, while they don't have long to fix their woes of this morning, they play the second test in a week's time. So that's two tests against the powerful England team, and then they have to play two tests against France, who are also a formidable team, and they play in their own Six Nations competition every year. So they get plenty of big time footy over there, and the English, particularly the English rugby program, has been well resourced and well supported over the years. So it's going to take something big. 9 players on debut for the Black Ferns. So they knew that they were going over with a team that was inexperienced by comparison. England rolled out all of their big guns, plus a couple of young, exciting players as well. Stacey Flula out on the wing, got a consolation try in the end, the 7-star who was playing in the centres, but got a try down the right edge, as I say, at the end. But they were well beaten, and they have plenty to think about ahead of the second test this weekend.
Very much so. We're not used to seeing them get beat by that sort of scoreline. I guess it's a bit of a rarity. We are used to seeing Wales get beat by bigger margins, but it took the All Blacks a little while for that to be achieved. Hoiānoa, we're just seemingly playing our footy at a different level, the national team. What stood out for you most about Saturday's win?
Well, I suppose, obviously, from an individual point of view, 100 tests for Bowden Barrow is a milestone. Only the 11th player in the history of the game to achieve that. He's still only a young guy as well. Sam Whitelock, he's going to eclipse Richie McCaw. I think McCaw sits on 148 tests. Sam Whitelock's now on 128. Sam's definitely made himself available for the next World Cup in 2023, so he's going to play over 150 tests. So that's going to be significant. The form of Ardie Savia in the All Black jersey, I think, is worthy of pretty special mention as well. And Cody Taylor, another superb effort from Cody in the hooking position on the weekend. But yes, the All Blacks, they were comprehensive. Their big advantage, of course, is exactly the same as Australia's advantage in rugby league. The entire Australian rugby league team play in the NRL, and the entire Tongan team play in the NRL. And that was a real reflection in the rise of Tonga when they got access to their best players. And of course, from a rugby union perspective, the entire New Zealand team play in the Super Rugby comp, so they come in. So they play in the toughest competition, in the warmest conditions, where the fields are hard and tough, and the games are played at a much more quicker and intense pace. That is an enormous advantage. And I think we saw that. It was a really, really tough contest for 60 minutes. And then the All Blacks, you know, once again proved that their bench is an enormous weapon, because in the last 20 minutes, there's no drop-off from the All Blacks whatsoever. On comes the players with plenty of enthusiasm and a full tank of gas, and they're able to close the game out comfortably. And the longer the game went on, the better the All Blacks got.
And infiltrated by that mad guy as well, who seems to be making a real nuisance of himself in internationals.
Yes, exactly. You wonder how he's able to do that. and what kind of a reflection that is on the security. And I suppose there were 80,000 people at the ground, and he came out dressed like an All Black, big enough to look like a lock, with an All Black jersey, shorts and socks and boots on. Why would you assume he's anybody else other than a member of the team, unless you studied everybody's face as they went past? And I suppose it's only when they looked at his puku hanging over his belt buckle or whatever, that they noticed that he clearly wasn't an athlete. But I feel a bit for the security. They will be getting criticised this morning. But, you know, who would know? It'd be somebody who's probably used to stacking shelves at the supermarket, and they put on a red badge thing and turn up at the footy. And how would you know when 23 blokes come out, or 24 blokes in the case of this guy, come out in the same playing kit and stand? I think it's mildly amusing, but I think there would be some concerns from a security perspective.
Fair enough, too. Ken, and just can we wrap up on perhaps a more sobering note? And this is to do with the vaccinations. You're involved the local DHB down in Wellington as well. How are numbers there? There are Māori and Pacifica people, and there is some hesitancy from our youth, which we need to counteract, and it's proving quite a difficult mahi, particularly up here in Tamaki. Any updates from out of the valley?
Yes, well, of course, it's hard to escape the influence of social media, where you can promulgate all sorts of rubbish about it, and trying to tell young people that the best scientists, the best health advice, and our best leaders in the health sector all recommend that you do it. Only 0.6% that haven't received it. Safe. The hospitals are full of people who are unvaccinated. How you counter that message? All of the high profile social media coverage that's been given to the protests in the minds of young people, that's enough to create doubt. I'm tied up with the Kōkiri whole water group down here, who are working on a daily basis with a vaccination bus that's going to hard to reach locations and whānau to try to nail that last 10 or 12%, talking to young people on a constant basis, trying to be positive and encouraging for them. There's that fine line between intervention and being rude, how people interpret, you know, what approaches and that are made. So all we can continue is to be positive and encouraging, get the message out around our whānau to be vaccinated and get safe. And, you know, on the more morbid thing than Nelson Asofa Solomona situation, where he says he's not going to get vaccinated, doesn't help as well with, publicity growing about the stance that he's going to take. I don't know what the boy's going to do. My understanding is he's on the verge of being sacked by the storm.